Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
The regular season is upon us, and Paul Kuharsky is in for week one. Titans and Broncos coming up on Sunday. PK with us the rest of the show. We'll take your questions, your thoughts for PK on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. PK, you've made an interesting observation in the Titans locker room that you think could have something to do with leadership. What do you make? What did you discover in there, and what do you think it means?
Well, there's still a lot to be discovered because obviously guys have been scrambled. It's not new to them, but it's new to us. We were just in the locker room for the first time on Thursday. So you kind of have to make a new roadmap to figure out where guys are. Like Amani Hooker has moved across town. Used to always be on the shower side where the DBs were, and now he's on the doorway side. But it is interesting where guys are placed. Like Cam Ward, the specialists have maintained their spot, the kickers, punters, down at the far end, which is where the quarterbacks were, which was primo real estate, right? You had a lot of space. You might have a locker empty next to the starting quarterback.
It took media a little bit of work to get to them.
Yeah, Cam Ward is now like right in the middle of it, and he's between meaningfully Lloyd Cushenberry and Calvin Ridley. So number one receiver and the guy he's taking snaps from. There's no way not to see that there's meaning in that, right?
So we'll stop there. All right, so they've moved him between those two guys from a media perspective, or I guess just being around guys' perspective. Why does that matter?
Well, I just think in these gaps in the day where you're in the locker room, you're gonna deal with, talk to, hang out with the guys that you're next to the most, and so having more of a relationship with the center who's snapping you the ball and the guy you're throwing to the most is you know, those are some of the most important relationships on the team.
Okay.
Now, usually a veteran leader would be, I think, put next to young guys. It used to be very positional. So Simmons, who was near the doorway, was next to Sweat, and that was very much a leader mentoring the young guy at his position. I was really surprised, and first I was considering it from a selfish perspective, that Simmons is next to Tyler Lockett on his left. And I was thinking of it from my perspective, like it's going to be tough to get to Lockett because Simmons is a big presence in his locker and he talks often, drawing a big crowd, which will make it tough to get to Lockett, who I think is going to be a key guy to talk to this year, a big perspective guy. But then I thought more about the meaning. Simmons on the other side, I'm pretty sure it's Cody Barton. Cody Barton is the other defensive captain. I don't know if the Titans necessarily saw that for sure coming, but when they brought him in, they definitely expected him to be a key defensive player who was going to be of influence. That Jeff Simmons is next to Tyler Lockett, a very wily veteran who's a worldly big leader, and Cody Barton, who now is a captain in addition to Jeff. I think there's some implications to that placement of Jeff. Rather than all three of these guys being set off amongst youth.
Which they have a lot of, lead, by the way. A lot of youth.
And I don't know who's next to Lockett on the other side. I don't know who's next to Lockett on the other side, who's next to Barton on the other side. Those could be young guys for them to influence.
You need to bring a map in here next time.
Yeah, but that Jeff is surrounded by two veteran guys of influence, to me, and you guys tell me if you think I'm taking it too far, is a little bit of an indicator that they want Jeff to absorb some maybe leadership qualities from some different leader types rather than to be off on his own doing his leadership thing.
You're just so obsessed with his bad leadership, aren't you?
I think it's a very important topic for this team.
His leadership they want to rub off on them to make them even better leaders.
I would say this. I think for sure, like when you lay it out where Ward is placed
and there's Cushenberry and Ridley. Like, there's no way that that's not intentional, right? Like, there's no way that that's not intentional to have your number one receiver and your center next to your quarterback.
Therefore, the room is intentional.
Well, that would be my question. I guess my only question after that would be, like, is all of it intentional, or is it just hyper-focused on the quarterback in that one spot?
This is a question you need to ask today.
I think it's no accident. I mean, there's no way Jeff Simmons, the next biggest thing to Cam Ward in that room, is placed where he's placed by accident.
Yeah. How that's the question. Like, how carefully, without using like potpourri in your question, how carefully did you construct this locker room? How intentional is the entire?
I think
it's not just
I'll
positional.
Ask it if you insist, you know? But I think he's pretty much said it.
Okay. Well, you got to text
By the end of the year, Simmons is not even going to look at PK, is he? Like, get him out of here.
I mean, I yeah.
He's more likely to leave than I am.
I think you guys need to go to Topgolf or something, okay? I got a texter says, what a wasted segment. Locker placement. Bleep. I think it's interesting.
I mean, if you don't want to know, things
under the hood.
Unseen and under the hood that mean things, then, you know.
Yeah, that's
go ahead and find some cheerlead Titan stuff that's telling you how great they are.
Or maybe he just wants us to say how bad they are. You never know.
Wow.
But no, this is where access is can be valuable. It's interesting. You know, I think like Simmons being a captain. Do you have a problem with this?
No.
I mean, you almost can't not, right?
No, I think he's a captain, and I think
he's
an important leader of the front.
In some ways, he's not.
I think it's significant. I think it's important that his leadership be minimized where he's not the guy for the organization. I think that has not worked out great. And so that somebody like Barton's emerging and that, you know, Hooker maybe is able to take on more, but that Cam is more the face of the franchise. I think that's all healthy for them. And that's not a direct
insult. They need him to be the
Jeff.
Clear face of the franchise
I think that's
in
not,
short order.
And I don't mean that as an insult of Jeff. I think part of Jeff's issue has been that there's not been enough around Jeff. And that's not Jeff's doing.
No, I would agree.
That's the team's failure.
I would agree. Now, another thing that I think is not a big deal that people have got to stop making a big deal, like Cam Ward being a captain his rookie year. It's like, yeah, okay.
Quarterbacks are captains almost
everywhere. Go look around the league. Tell me how many quarterbacks are not captains on their team.
New Orleans doesn't have a captain or quarterback. And you know what New Orleans doesn't have? A good quarterback.
Yeah. Well, how many – well, and I don't know the answer to this. How many rookie quarterbacks get voted captain? I'm sure some do, for sure.
A fair amount.
Yeah.
If you're the starting quarterback, I think a fair amount.
Like was C.J. Stroud right away? Was Jaden Daniels?
I'd have to go back and look, but I would almost guarantee.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not some massive, oh, my God. And also, I actually think that – I mean, I think he has those qualities, right? I mean, I think –
yeah.
Like the guys like him, right? The guys follow him, all that stuff. So,
I mean, hell, Levis had it last year in his second year.
Right.
When you're, you know, leading the huddle, it's a very natural thing. You're
Stroud.
Kind of a captain with or without the
Stroud,
seat.
Yes. Captain
Stroud,
rookie.
Yeah, I think it's very common. Like, if you're the starting quarterback, I mean, it's almost a red flag if you don't,
right.
If you're not a captain.
Yeah, like, if you're a rookie and you're not, then to me it's like, okay. But, yeah, once even like Levis last year, if he wasn't, that would have been absolutely a red flag to me.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
No, I agree. Well, and I, in all seriousness, like, you know, looking ahead to week one, that's part of all this, right? Like, the leadership in the room, nothing in this organization has been where it's needed to be over the last couple of years. So, like, Cam Ward, part of his job, and the most important part of his job is, can he play the position well? I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to. But it's a big part of it, too. Like, you know, the leadership and getting your guys going the right way, it's part of Callahan's job, like, they've needed a revamp in this thing, and we're going to get the first picture of it. Look, he spent a lot of time talking about that in the offseason, right? Like, we made fun of the, you know, the playing tag and the games and all that stuff. But that was at the root of all this, and we're going to begin to find out the answer to whether or not that had any sort of positive impact starting on Sunday.
My dude on the YouTube chat says, does Paul hate Jeff because Jeff can bench more? Is that really what this is?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
He can bench you. I'd like to see him bench you.
Could bench three me's, no?
Yeah, I think so.
You weigh 95 pounds?
He could bench 1.5 me.
Okay, there we go. That's probably about right. Maybe two.
There we go. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. More coming up next with PK, Robbie, and Rex Road. 1025 The Game.
Talked about leadership, and players have talked about how they feel like leadership is better this year compared to last. How does that help you when you go on the road and you face maybe adversity in a week one game?
Well, just like anything, it's really easy to lead when things go well. The leadership shows up when you face those adverse spots, when maybe you have a series or two that doesn't go your way in one particular phase or the other. Maybe it's a couple of games a month during a season. That's where your leadership shows up. And can you stay the course? Can you continue to do the things that you have to do to put yourself in position to win and not, you know, ride that roller coaster in the up and down. So we're a much more connected team. Our leadership in terms of the accountability portion to each other has really grown. Our ability to communicate with each other has shown up, I think, a lot more on the field, just in the normal communication part. That's part of leadership. So I feel really good about where we're at in that regard. The guys have worked hard at it. It's been a point of emphasis, just like all those other things I mentioned before. Leadership's a little bit less quantifiable than some of the data points, but it's one of those things you kind of know it when you see it, and I think we're in a much better place.
That's Brian Callahan earlier this week on the leadership front.
Around the rosy helped.
Yeah. To that point, I think the most interesting thing we've heard about leadership lately is that Tony Pollard said last year we couldn't really identify the leaders, and it's much easier this year. I thought that was pretty telling.
But doesn't also –
and he was one of the leaders last year. So
Arden Key.
I think it's a little bit of a self-indictment.
You know, last year they never corrected mistakes.
Didn't come in here, and we didn't even watch film. Didn't even do anything.
Yeah. These guys correct mistakes.
My favorite part last year was Arden Key circling back at the end of the year and be like, we probably need to make some corrections at some point.
Golly. But I will say, I don't disagree with you. I mean, guys say stuff, but Arden Key is much more generally vocal and more likely to pop off with something random like that than Tony Pollard.
I would agree.
Who is a soft-spoken guy who's not particularly good at the podium. So when he says something like that, I think it's more likely to have heft.
Yeah.
To it.
I mean, but so, well, this kind of gets it back to Jeff, though, too, right? Because, first of all, he clearly was supposed to be, has been a needed and pushed forward leader for years.
Yes.
Right? So, is he different now? Is that what Pollard's saying? Or just, you know, Cam Ward comes in?
I think he's saying other leadership has emerged.
Yeah. So, who are those people? Barton?
Barton, for sure. Latham? Cam, for sure.
Zeitler?
I think on the offensive line, it's hard to pick one. I think it's a collective thing. But if I'm picking one, I'm picking Skoronski. But maybe that's just because I think he's probably the best with the media. I think Latham's good with the media, too. But I think being good with the media is part of it. And I think Skoronski's a very good face of the team kind of guy.
You don't think you can be a good captain leader if you're not good with the media?
I think you can.
It's about you. Got to make it about you. Huh?
I think you can be. But I think generally the best leaders are pretty good faces of the team.
Yeah.
And Skoronski's a pretty good face of the team guy. Like if I'm picking five guys, he's definitely in it.
Well, you can also be great with media and not be necessarily
not a great player.
Like Lawan maybe a little bit like that, right? Like
towards the end for sure.
With media, but then not everybody in that locker room.
Yeah, got a C strip from him.
Well, that was early.
Yeah.
That was also some of his goofy stuff on the field, right? Yeah. When he couldn't
personal
stop
fouls.
Getting personal fouls after the snap. He got better with that.
Yeah.
How much juice do we think Tony Pollard's got? Because I asked that he'll be 28 this year. I think he's already in a situation where that they don't want him in from the standpoint of Spears is not available the first 4 weeks. And I'm with you, PK. I think that probably ends up meaning more work for him early in the year. You know, in 2022, when he got a really substantial amount of carries for the first time, it was 193 that year, 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns, he averaged 5.2 a carry. Got hurt the next year, or got hurt at the end of that year, came back the next year, and the yards per attempt went down from 5.2 to 4. Last year with the Titans, given what we know about the limitations, it was 4.2 per carry. So when you think about what they've done at the offensive line, a new quarterback coming in, him being 28, and really in his career being right around a 1,000-yard guy, kind of on the dot. How much juice we think Pollard's got this year?
Yeah, I don't think an incredible amount of juice. And I think, you know, if they could have done more, and we know how many needs they had and everything, I think they would have liked to have gotten a solid Tony Pollard backup who could be his replacement next year, then get out of his 3-year deal for $2 million dead money next year. You know, 29, he'll be 29 next year. It's not a total kiss of death, but you're right. You're right there, right? Or maybe you well, his cap number's 9-2. You wouldn't want to pay 9-2 to shift him into the Spears role. Yep. And in the Spears role, you'd like somebody young, and we don't know where Spears will be exactly because he keeps getting dinged. But I think running back is going to be a position next year, you know, after edge rusher and after receiver, where we could see them really look for a three-down guy. And they've talked pretty openly about Pollard wearing down last year.
Yep.
So I think they're fearful. But what do you do in Denver? You know, can you be thinking about November in Denver when you don't have a realistic alternative? I mean, I think you hope Spears is back and is able to take some of that, or somebody pops on waivers that you could bring in. I don't think Chestnut or Mullings is going to be able to take very much off of his plate.
I think Pollard will be good this year. And, yeah, I mean, I think in the opener it's going to be heavy usage. But I also, like, if I had to guess, I would guess he'll get past 1,000 yards, and also that they'll have someone else one way or the other in mind for next year. I mean, again, it's like you can go through the list of all these.
We're already running
positions
out of draft picks next year.
That they have to – but I agree. Like, they've really got to think about that. I mean, you've got to – especially because, like, if Spears was trending well, you could go third, fourth round, something like that, and have a good two-back situation. But, I mean,
well, I think you get a third, fourth rounder who you tab as your –
starter, as your main guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jordan Mims,
you can do that.
Jordan Mims did some nice work, but I don't think they envision Jordan Mims as a guy. But you know how the league goes, and it could be November, December that Jordan Mims is on the roster. I mean, they had a bad back on the roster down the stretch last year whose name escapes me.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who they had on the roster last year. Snead, from a snap percentage standpoint, what roughly do you think we're going to see on Sunday?
No idea. Who knows?
I mean, do you think they know at this point?
I think they have a wishful hope that all of this timed up and all they wanted was him to be physically ready to go, and that he will be physically ready to go, and that when they put him out there, he will play somewhere close to how
the whole game
they think he could play. Oh, yeah, definitely the whole game. But at the level that they thought he was going to play at on opening day last year. And if he does, what a revelation that'll be for that defensive backfield, where everybody could kick back a notch, and Brownlee's too. And everybody, you know, McCreary.
Some of those guys
McCreary
you don't want to see on the field aren't on the field.
Some of those guys you don't want to see on the field are playing special teams. And that's it. I mean, Daryl Baker has regressed this camp. I thought he did a hell of a job last year, and I think Denard Wilson was a big reason why. He's very good with defensive backs. But right now, I really would not be excited about seeing Daryl Baker on the field. And if Snead goes down during this game and goes to the sideline, you see Daryl Baker come on, that's some bad news.
Snead going to get
it. Or Harris. Harris could be past Baker. Yep. I don't know.
So injury report today, first one of the year. Very exciting day. Snead going to get a Q? Questionable?
I mean, I think Snead will be on there. He'll be listed. Cushenberry will be listed. Sweat will be listed. So, you know.
Latham
maybe not listed. But they don't have to designate until the end of the week, right?
Yep.
So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The Q wouldn't come till Friday.
Yeah.
See? out of practice.
Just maybe limited today for
for Sneed. That's right, yeah. Limited, yes.
One texter going back to the locker room conversation says, could get to my phone earlier, but just wanted to text that everybody should be positioned closer to the bathrooms so we could go ahead and flush this season down the toilet. Just get to everybody's locker right next to the toilet, please, if you don't mind.
Everybody's got reasonable proximity to the bathroom.
It's good. It doesn't take long
slash
to get to the bathroom.
Shower slash sink. I mean,
Byard used to have that primo spot, man. Boom. You right go in the bathroom.
Let's just be clear. Close. It's not all toilet in there. There's shower.
Yeah.
There's sink. There's shaving
heavy
that goes
duty
on.
Stuff.
There's shaving that goes on. There's all sorts of things that goes on behind those doors.
And PK's got video to prove it. I mean, come on, you just lobbed it up, man.
I don't think that my guilty video had anything to do with the bathroom.
No,
well, my filming is, you know,
elite.
Pretty
spectacular.
Pretty good. It's good. I am very good with the iPhone camera.
Good framing.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Dr. Locke to the program. Doctor?
Doctor.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, guys. Hey, man, I hate to interrupt this this amazing topic of, you know, maybe if I stay tuned long enough, I can find out where Jeffrey Simmons, you know, which side he keeps the shampoo on.
We moved on. Mm. Now you're the one extending it, not us.
Can he spare a square?
Let's switch it up a little bit, though. Let's talk about how the SEC laid an egg in Texas, came up to the horseshoe, my horseshoe, played my Ohio State, and we turned the best, supposedly the best quarterback in the nation to a check-down champion. Two interceptions. One luckily got called back. Our defense dominated both sides. Our offensive line blew them off the ball.
We're in Columbus. We all watched it. We've talked about this
a lot this week.
Hey, thanks for calling in with the big recap of a game that was played 4 days ago.
Oh, come on. Come on now. You guys talked for weeks. I had to listen to you guys pander about how deep the SEC was, how strong it was. How strong was it? Alabama lost to a 2-win Florida State
team.
Talked
a lot about that one,
How deep and how badass is the SEC? This week coming up, Michigan's going to beat Oklahoma, and it's going to continue. We're going to continue to drub the SEC.
I hope you do. SEC guy. I don't love people that think they own the word "the," however, but
a little respect for a dynasty, the Ohio State, please.
Oh, please give me a break. But you played great. You played great. It was a phenomenal job. But maybe Arch sucks. Maybe you're the first team to reveal that Arch sucks. Maybe you did a hell of a job. If my team did a hell of a job, but it required me having Matt Patricia, I'd rather not do a hell of a job.
No, he's a genius. No, they're all convinced he's a genius.
Thank you, doctor.
I mean, have that mouse walking around my campus? I'd rather take my chance with a regular human being coordinating my defense.
At least he's not on the offense.
Took it to a dark place. You know, I don't really have a problem with that call. Have I ever done a rant about supposedly?
No,
I'm saving that
that's
one.
Awful. Awful.
Supposedly is not a word.
I mean, that guy sounded like he was from the South.
How many mother farters use supposedly?
You make me so nervous when you do that every time.
We gotta stop with supposedly. It's not a word.
We'll have more.
What are they combining? Or are they just butchered?
By the way, noted
supposedly is like apparently just some difficult word
very
to grasp.
Difficult.
Noted SEC homer Paul Kuharsky with us for the next 30 minutes here on the show as well.
Yeah.
We'll have more coming up next.
Damn, I doesn't have any money.
Robbie and Rex Road 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road 102.5 The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national team take on Korea Republic at Geodis Park coming up on Tuesday, September the 9th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national team take on Korea Republic coming up on Tuesday at Geodis Park. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We're going to get our first look on Sunday at edge rusher for the Titans. I was thinking about this because I heard DVD throwing out like sack totals. And what they have, 32 last year? Were they going to get to that number again? Was it going to be over or under? And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't know who's getting after the quarterback this year for the Tennessee Titans. We'll see if Simmons and the weight loss and all that happens. But we're going to get our first look at edge rusher Sunday, Paul, and I think Titans fans may want to shield their eyes for what they see.
Wow. I mean, 32 is very low. Denver had 63 last year.
Yeah.
63.
Get in the 40s and you're in the human race.
It's just hard to see where they're going to come from. So, like with a lot of things with this team, you know, maybe they surprise us. And maybe Draymond Jones has a big year. Maybe Femi in the second half figures something out and does some things. Key is capable in bursts. We've seen him have three-game stretches where you say, whoa, where'd that come from? And then it disappears.
Season opener on the road a couple years ago.
New Orleans.
Maybe he'll repeat.
Yeah, look good.
But, you know, overall, week to week, you know, the over-under 1.5 sacks in a game, I'm taking under.
Yeah, which is a very depressing place to be for that defense.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the Simmons sweat thing has got to be great. And I'm confident. I don't know how you feel. I know how you feel about Jeff. Jeez. But, I think he's going to have a good year. I think he looks in great shape. He looks quick, and I think he's going to have a great year. I just don't know what the – like, is sweat going to be significantly better than last year? You know, that's my question.
I don't have a lot
of
faith.
They could be a really good tandem.
I don't have a lot of faith in sweat because of this missed time. I do have a lot of faith in Simmons. The question to me is – can he stay healthy? Because over the last few years, he's had something nagging that has helped slow him. And B, can he get over the double team thing? Like he just talks about double teams as if they are preventative. And last year he was double teamed less than sweat.
Yeah.
Has anybody mentioned that to him?
It's coming.
Position yourself so you can run into the bathroom, hide under a toilet.
You really got to gird yourself up to go in with that.
Yeah.
first he sees me coming, and the sour starts, and then
just use Glennon as a meat shield.
Yeah,
Tyler Lockett, he's right next to him. Tyler, I need you to come with me.
Texter says Femi has bus written all over him. I look. He was a project. He was always going to be a project, right? Now you can take issue with doing a project at that point, right?
Sure.
But,
yes.
But
which I do take issue with.
Yeah, but I mean, but
it's hard not.
But
to
if the project works out, if the final result of the project is what they think, then you know, if you have to suffer through a underwhelming rookie year, fine.
But
right?
You've got 4 years with your second round pick. You're sacrificing the first year to project status, then you got 3 years with them.
Okay, well, I'm just saying if he turns out to be really good. The hard part is how many guys you see, and we've talked about this before, but it's like how many guys you see who come in not ready to produce and then they get that much better. You can improve, but can you get that much better?
Yeah, like how many pass rushers come into the league and are like not ready to play football
and then become
and
great
then become
later?
Great players.
Also,
like Javon Kearse comes here, and I'm just off the top of my head,
boom.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
and I realize it's different because he just started playing the position. So I mean that's going to be the selling point as well. He just started playing this position last year. So give him some time. And look, maybe he does. I'm sure it's happened, but how many guys have come in and have just been unready to play and then turn into absolute superstars?
Also, it's a building backwards thing, which I get, but not in the second round. So you're drafting your number two edge in 2025, awaiting your number one edge in 2026, which I understand if you're doing it like third, fourth, fifth round. But to kind of concede the second round, the best we could do is get our number two edge just seems like a little bit of a give up.
Well,
isn't it?
I think
this is your second pick.
I think it would also be. It's one thing if it's a more loaded roster, and you look at edge, and it's like, oh, that's just the glaring weakness, and you're taking a shot. Like, yeah, edge was a glaring weakness. But go look around that roster. I mean, I was telling PK, look at the depth chart that came out yesterday, and I was just like, oh God, this may not go well for the Titans. So it's not like this was their only opportunity. Yeah, a lot of positions of need.
Yeah. Now, I will say, though, to your point, PK, I mean, I think the idea, I think, is he could become a number one edge.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
I don't know.
In the second round,
they're taking an edge. Taking an edge next year or yeah, getting some premier level guy that they envision as being their primary sack guy.
But I mean, when it comes,
so could he become one? Yeah, but he would still, I think, qualify as one B at best. Now, it'd be great to have two fantastic ones.
Yeah, you hope that there's someone who makes it. Yeah, I mean, right? I'm just saying, you draft someone in the second round. Typically, you expect production right away, but also you expect that to be a top level
foundational piece
at whatever position they are, right?
Yeah, and maybe he feels like a foundational piece halfway through or going into next season, but it really is a long play.
Yeah,
and it just seems kind of odd for a team in their situation to intentionally take a long play.
Ed on the text line says, "I hope Brownlee cuts his penalties in half. I'll quickly lose patience with him if we see more of the same this year." To me, PK, like, Snead's health's a big part of that, too. Like, Brownlee, we know, is handsy. Like, he's going to get into the receiver, and he's probably going to get called a few times this year for PI, which I can live with if you're still sticky in coverage. Like, you're all really high-level cornerbacks get called for PI time and again. So I'm not hugely worried about that. What I worry about is, like, if Snead either goes down and isn't available – or isn't the same level of player, is Brownlee going to be put in matchups where he really has no business being in? Like, or, you know, if Brownlee at some point due to injury is your de facto number one corner, like, is he ready for that? I have my doubts about that this year.
Yeah, he was in that position last year, and, you know, it wasn't ideal, but given all their other deficiencies, he was a lesser.
Serviceable.
Yeah. Serviceable was good. Will he be better than serviceable as a number one? Yeah. Do you want him to be your number one? No. And again, this is another spot. Like, Jarvis Brownlee is a good hit as a fifth-round pick. But next year, he's got to be your number two at best. And he even conceivably could become your slot if McCreary walks. He's best suited to be a slot. That kind of attitude really fits the slot. And, you know, I think they're looking next year for number one receiver, number one edge, number one running back maybe, and number one corner. And, again, the list is too long.
Yep.
Number one quarterback? No, just kidding. Colin Shelby. Colin, shut
way
up.
To amuse the people.
All right. Colin Shelbyville's asking you if they brought in Kazir White to start over Cedric Gray and Williams.
I don't think so.
He's just a depth head, right?
He's not been around. Now I'm seeing something. I don't know about him heading to practice squad first. I haven't seen that. You know, he's an experienced player, so I think he would be depth insurance behind two inexperienced guys in Gray and Williams. Look, he's had some success in the league. Blake Bedingfield thinks he's, you know, average NFL linebacker. I know a lot of people are far more excited about him than that. But I think at the start, for sure, he's insurance. And you're hoping that Gray
and Williams are
fine and that you don't really need him. And he's been out of the loop, so he's probably coming off of something.
We'll have one more segment with PK looking ahead to the matchup against Denver coming up this weekend. We'll do that next. Commodore's taking on Virginia Tech this Saturday, pregame beginning at 5 o'clock, kickoff at 6:30. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Smoky Mountain Tops. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Tune in for the NFL Game of the Week on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, as the Dallas Cowboys, without Micah Parsons, take on the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow night at 7:20. NFL Game of the Week presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. Taking your thoughts for PK.
The kids are going to be pouring out of media ethics, running to watch that game.
Yeah. Big one.
At least four.
That is the biggest line in the NFL this week.
What is it?
Philadelphia, an 8.5-point favorite. Titans, second biggest. The Broncos, a 7.5-point favorite. So there you go.
And by the way, professor of media ethics right here, Paul Kaharsky.
That's right.
Thank you.
It's gone down from 8.5 to 7.5.
It has. Titans, money coming in.
Should have gone with the Titans, though, when it was 8.5.
I know.
Should you have?
I don't know. Part of me thinks, I wouldn't be surprised if they definitely – I don't think they'll win, but I don't know. I feel like Cam Ward's going to be able to move the ball in garbage time this year compared to Will Levis.
I'm going to give you the advice I give people on almost every game. Stay away from that game.
I will take that advice. Thank you.
I really do. Most people stay ask me about a game, and I go, you know what I do with that game? Yeah, stay away from that one.
Is that the
I think
advice
that's
you,
good gambling advice.
Is that part of the itinerary for the kids, too? You giving gambling advice?
We haven't really gotten into gambling, but we go. Lately, the conversation's been about how much paper I waste because I have huge – I'll show you.
Professor Paul. This is great radio.
No, my notes look like this. You know, and so I
wow, those look how big those letters are. Good Lord.
The font size massive. Of 72. Mr.
Professor Magoo.
So you can see if you're, watching. Yeah. And they're like, do you do two sided? I'm like, oh no. If I did two sided, I'd get really confused. We'd be pausing like crazy. And they're like, do you recycle it? And I'm like, well, look, I take notes on the back. I take some notes on the back. So. Yeah.
Does Belmont have a grading the prof site? Most schools do. And we may need to have some Belmont kids on to review your professorial endeavors.
You're
going to
turn Belmont's grading the prof site into a call-in segment. Yeah.
We need live witnesses for Paul Kuharsky's
teaching. You have to get some voice distortion software.
One texter wondering if the Titans have the best offensive line in the AFC South.
We'll see. I would go Indianapolis there. And I hate Indianapolis. I think Indianapolis is the fourth place team in the division. But I think they've got a pretty good – Bernard Raymond, I think, is quite a good player.
So you might give them second? I mean, the Texans, that's
Texans
a red
are
flag.
Total mystery. Yeah.
Well, the Texans had their rookie win their left tackle job, right. Which is, you know, is that a good sign about him? Or does that tell you that Cam Robinson was absolute trash? I think we need to see. I think that's one of the big mysteries in the league, you know. I think Houston wins the division, but is Houston then just like a division winner that is easy fodder for the cream of the AFC? And we know there are three teams up there that are killer.
Yep.
Or can Houston, with this offensive revamp, you know, make that a four-team club?
Yeah.
I think there's potential for it.
I think their defense is really good, Houston's defense. Their offensive line scares the crap out of me if I'm – you know, John McClain's talked about it. I just think it's a total – and now, granted, their offensive line last year wasn't any good. I mean, what did C.J. Stroud get sacked last year? He got sacked a lot last year.
Yeah.
So, like
– they just blamed the O.C.
Yeah, then he got fired.
And the O-line coach,
yeah,
I think, who is out as well. So those two coaches are the ones, if you're Titans fans, that you're looking at pretty closely. After Brian Callahan and his staff.
PK, what does success for Cam Ward look like to you in week one in this matchup?
I think people should get ready for the Titans to play a safe game protecting Cam Ward. Running, short, quick stuff. We've gotten away, or we haven't been talking about this, but when the Titans have gotten in trouble in the games to a degree, but certainly in the joint practices, when they found trouble, they've peeled it back, turtled it in. Look for screens, look for short, quick stuff, timing, accuracy, really off the run game. And I think maybe people are going to bed with visions of sugar plums in their head and picturing, you know, bombs away and Cam at Miami. I don't, you know, if they hit one or two of those in a great scenario, that'd be terrific. But I think you're probably going to be talking about a very conservative looking offense on Monday, win or lose.
Okay, so success for Cam Ward within that context, because I mean, it makes sense.
High completion percentage. No bonehead mistakes. All the standard, basic, rookie, safe play stuff.
No right? picks.
No well, picks or
one pick.
One pick, but that's a downfield throw on a third and 10 that, you know, amounts to Johnny Hecker having been on the field.
Like, to me, if he leads two touchdown drives in this game without knowing anything else about the game, I actually That's not bad. Then you know you hope you have a couple field goals in there, and then I mean, that's the thing. We haven't talked much about we've talked about individuals, but like the defense as a whole. I mean, I don't really know how good or bad this defense might be.
But what do you suspect?
Probably a little more bad than good.
I think maybe a lot more.
I have not been able to shake the feeling all week that they're about to go up there and just get killed. That's been my feeling on it all week. I mean, I'm talking three touchdowns. I think they're going
to
get smoked.
I tend to feel Sunday. The same way, yeah. And I don't generally talk about a game feel. I just think it's a really bad matchup that they really could have used something that allowed them to, in some way, shape, or form, ease in. And this is just not that. And I think Monday we're going to be talking about some ugly stuff.
Yeah, finding the positives of Cam Ward in the
That's an ideal scenario. I mean, that's not an ideal scenario. But hopefully if things don't go well for them the way Robbie and I think they won't, that it's not Cam Ward's quote-unquote fault.
Right. Well, I mean, the reality is, like, again, this is a high-level defense he's about to go up against. And I'm sure Vance Joseph is going to throw everything at him. And that's a lot to handle in week one as a rookie quarterback. And to me, it's a big Brian Callahan week in terms of how much do you help your rookie quarterback in game one, knowing that the odds and the circumstances are totally stacked against you.
And what does he do? What does he do on the handful of plays? Let's say there are six where he does not recognize anything.
Exactly.
And he does what they have out there, alignment against what Denver's showing and what Denver does, is just a complete disconnect. In those six plays, how many yards do the Titans lose? How many turnovers do they have? How much does that undo the Titans?
Yeah.
If the pain out of those six plays is minimized, then I think you can feel okay about them.
I think if it's only six plays, that's pretty good.
Okay. Well, whatever the number is.
Yeah.
If they wound themselves on these 8 or 12 plays, I'm rounding up for Joe.
Thank you.
If they severely wound themselves on those plays, then I think you're thinking it would echo 2024 a little bit.
It's a Brian Callahan week, but I think it's also a big Bill Callahan week. And,
yeah.
And if that group looks significantly different, then I think they have a chance to do some things.
Yeah, I would totally agree. PK, great stuff. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you tonight.
Good to be with you, boys. Don't block the box, and be sure to lock your locks. Ian, you did a good job within the show.
Thank you.
Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.